For our scripture reading, we turn to the same psalm that we have sang just a moment ago, Psalm 90. We read all verses of Psalm 90. This is God's word to us. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. And in the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up. In the evening it's cut down, and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. And thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our year as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Thus far, God's precious word to us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, maybe this past year you've learned to count. And you're excited about that, I guess. Learn to count, maybe doing some sums for the first time. In this sermon, we are going to count as well. We are going to count our days. And young people, maybe you have broken your brains over math, trained your brains over difficult sums and complicated issues, done algebra this past year, calculus, and it was complicated, and maybe some of you have been more successful than others. But we are going to count also together our days. Well, we are a day 365 of this year, 2019. And it's just a few hours before we enter in the year of the Lord 2020. And this psalm that is in front of us in our text invites us to come and count and do some math, as it were. Some year-end math to all of us, not just to the young, but also to the old, to the seniors. And we are in this psalm called to number our days. And yes, we can do that and just think about the facts. And then we come up with 52 weeks. We can say that equals 8,760 hours. That equals 525,600 minutes. And that equals 31,560,000 seconds. 31,536,000 seconds. Those are the facts. Those are that's the time that we have been allotted by God this past year. And it's almost past. But Moses is going to ask us to do something more than just the facts. And he's going to ask us to count in a different way. When he says to us in our text, Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so we are going to think about year and math. First of all, we are going to think about our calculations, and then we are thinking about what is the outcome of that math. Because we hear that. So teach us to number our days, so we need to number in some way. We need to count. We need to calculate. Those are our calculations. So that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. That's our outcome. Wisdom. So may the Lord give that indeed to us. This psalm was written by Moses. He was called, as the superscript says, or the first line in some Bibles, the man of God. He was a prophet. And we don't know exactly what the occasion was that he wrote this psalm. Some say that spies were gone to the promised land, and they had looked at the land, and they returned, and they brought this message. Two of them said, yes, let us go up. Another spy had not spoken truth. Others say that Moses was in the desert in Midian at the time that Israel was still in Egypt. That was the time of his writing. We're not clear about when it was. It doesn't really matter, because it has a very clear message to us tonight. It invites us to come and count and to think in a sobering way, yet a hopeful, by the grace of God, a hopeful way, and in which we view our lives and think about our lives. And that's especially appropriate when we have this New Year's Eve together. We are going to consider a naturally hard calculation for us. We don't want to calculate with these things. Just as young people, you do a sum that is very hard, and you struggle to go through that sum, and then you come to the outcome and you have the right answer. There is this joy. So also we hope that by the grace of God, when we go through this hard sum, as it were, this hard calculation, that we come away with joy and with more wisdom, with more skill for our lives. Because that's what wisdom is. So that we live wisely. So let us then turn our attention to these sobering realities tonight, first of all. Our calculations. Our text begins with this word, so. So teach us to number our days. And it really invites us to look back to the verses before. In this way, we have to calculate. What way? Well, the verses before. The first contrast that we see in those verses is we are mortal and God is eternal. That is in verses 1 through 6. It's really asking us the question, all of us, are you, am I, ready to die? Are we counting with it? Are we counting on the fact that we one day will be dying? How many of us have thought about these things and prepared ourselves for that day? See, there's a sobering reality that we that we find hard to think about, that we'd rather maybe shrink away from. We don't want to think about death. And maybe we don't hear people talk a lot about death. Maybe we talk about it sometimes just in passing, but really to let it sink in for a moment. You and I are going to die one day. Unless the Lord Jesus comes first, we're going to die. Have we let it sink in, that reality? We don't like such calculations, do we? Such thoughts. The truth is, we have to. We have to think about this. We'd rather say, don't let us think about it. We'd rather push it away. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that we don't think about our day of death? Well, the Bible tells us that the day of our death can be and should be better than the day of our birth. Why is it? Are we not ready? Is it too painful because your thoughts multiply tonight when you think about your loved ones who have gone to eternity? It's painful when you grieve. Or is it because you fear death? It's so unknown. It's so unnatural. We were not created to die. Or is it we don't want to think about death because we really are distracted with the things of life too much, and we are clinging to those things, and we find those things more important? We're distracted by the busyness of life. If that's the case, then we are going to make wrong calculations tonight. Because our day of death needs to be calculated into our lives. We need to think about that. Not just with our mouth, but with our heart. If we think that we are going to live somehow eternally, we don't say that with our mouth generally. We know that we won't live eternally, but we can do that with our actions. As if we would live forever. Then our life is going to show that. And the Bible warns us over and over that we can think ourselves rich in this world, and yet we are poor before God. And that's a real possibility. That's a real possibility. That we think we have it all, but no, we are actually living for the wrong things. And set our heart on those things. Our possessions can be one of them. And sometimes we have a tendency, we don't believe in prosperity gospel, but sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, you know, if I receive possessions from the Lord, then the Lord must bless me. Must have blessed me. Secretly. Money. Houses, or maybe we are building houses, buying stuff. If that is together with a little concern about our souls, then there is something wrong. Then I need to warn you, in the name of the Lord, then you might be like Laodicea, that said, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I've need of nothing, and you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. If you are not concerned about your soul but about the things of this world, then that is the message for you tonight. Then you are like that rich fool who says, I'm going to build bigger barns. Without realizing you are going to die one day, what is going to happen then? You have to leave it all. We need more than outward blessings, don't we? We all know that with our minds, but have we come to grips with that in our hearts? We are wrongly calculating if we are going to ignore our sinfulness and God's wrath over our sins. That's verses 7 through 11. We see that very clearly in this psalm. We need to reckon with this fact before it is too late. We can push away the fact that we are sinful, that we are not only failed, but we are sinful to the core in our thoughts, word, and deeds and actions. And if we don't think about these things and push them away, we're going to have faulty calculations about life. If we say we don't need to listen to God, we ignore Him, we excuse our sins, and we still think we are going to escape the wrath of God, we are doing something that is foolish. And some of us have probably done that, I fear, for plus or minus 31 million seconds this past year. 31 million seconds approximately. You've been pushing away, ignoring God. And others are wrongly calculating their lives when they think about all the exciting things and the pleasures you had. And the more pleasure, the better it is. Is that right? Is that right? Have you been ignoring the truth of God's wrath over our sins? You need to calculate these things into your life, into your heart. How are we then to calculate? How are we properly calculating these things? Well, we first of all need to consider who is God. He is the eternal one, the unchangeable one. It says in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He was before all things. He has created us. He knows all about us. He existed always. We can't ignore Him. We are going to meet Him. We need to reckon with these things. We are mortal, and we are going to die, and we are going to face Him. It says in verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction. That means God is going to turn us to the dust. He said it after we fell into sin in Adam. He said, dust art thou, and to dust thou wilt return. That's the same word. Destruction, dust. And God wants us to think about this for a moment and take these things in and ponder and meditate on these things. And He gives us in verse 4 a comparison. He says, God, I am eternal and we are not. And even if you would live 1,000 years, children, would you like to live 1,000 years? Even if you live 1,000 years, Methuselah was the oldest one, right? Who lived 969 years. Even compared to that, eternity, God who is eternal, if we compare that, we live 1,000 years, then it's still as yesterday in the sight of God. That's how small it is. Just one day. One day. Now calculate our lives. We don't live 1,000 years. We all know that. Verse 10 tells us that we don't live 1,000 years. It tells us that we live maybe 70 years, maybe 80 years maximum. If we then translate that, okay, 1,000 years is one day. What is 80 years? It's 25 minutes. Of a normal 24-hour day. That's how brief our lives are, really. Your life, my life, in God's sight, who is eternal. unchangeable, holy, just, righteous. And this psalm gives us all kinds of pictures to make it sink in this reality that we are mortal, that we are dying. Verse 4b says, it's like a night watch. That's 3-4 hours of the night, basically. Verse 5b says, well, it's like a sleep. Children, you lay yourself down in the evening. Maybe you have sometimes trouble to get into sleep, but when you sleep, you sleep maybe for an hour or eight, right? You sleep and then you're out. You don't know much about it. Sometimes you know a little bit about your dreams, but that's it. And then you wake up. You know, I went to sleep and I wake up, and it's 8 hours later. We don't even realize that's how our lives is. How quick they fly by. Ask someone who's older than you. One of our seniors. Ask, how quick has your life gone? They will tell you. And another picture in verse 5b and 6 is a picture of grass. Now, Israel was a hot country. Now, we have sometimes that the grass gets all brown. There it could be that in the morning this grass would just come up and it would flourish and it would grow, and then the sun would beat it and it was dead in the evening in less than 12, 13 hours. That's how our lives are. God tells us tonight. That's how short. And then in verse 9, there's another picture, last picture. A tale that is told. Now you see that maybe in your Bible there's some brackets or there's some italics that shows that there's only this word tale in the original language. So there's only one word for it. It's like a groan or a sigh. That's what it really means. Now, if you groan, if you sigh, how long does that take? That's the picture of our lives. How quick it goes. Have you been doing this kind of math this year, this past year? And when you do this kind of math, does that influence the way you think about things? Have we really applied it to our hearts and to our lives and to what we do? As God has graciously given us 365 more days. How many of those are still left for you? How many do you have? How many do I have? Are we ready? Are we ready to die? Now, children, when the Puritans were still around, they really lived with this perspective. I need to die. Those were godly people. And those days, there were also days in which many more people would die from all kinds of diseases. And death was a reality to them. You know what was on their epitaphs, on their gravestones? They had a little hourglass. Maybe you have never seen an hourglass, but it's a glass with scent in it, and it would just, you would turn it around, and then it would walk down for an hour. An hourglass. You know what they did with that hourglass? There was two rings on that hourglass to show time is really flying. It goes very, very, very quickly. So we need to properly calculate that in, that we are all dying, but this psalm then also continues to press home to us the fact that we are sinful. We are sinful, and God's wrath is sure over sin. Verse 3, we already heard it. It says there, return to the dust. Verse 3, thou returnest man to destruction, and return, and sayest, return, ye children of man. Every moment of our lives is basically hanging in the hand of God. His will is going to be done. when it's his will, at his pleasure, he is going to call us to die. It doesn't matter if we do diets or we do fitness or we do medicine. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do these things. But our death is appointed by God. Because our text says here, verse 3 says, when God is going to speak, you're going to die, then you will die. We all will die. If he says that about our lives. And it gives us very clearly a reason, and we all know the reason. We've heard it from this pulpit over and over. It's the fall in Adam, and it's our wicked hearts by nature. It says, verse 7, we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. There will be punishment over for our sins. This psalm says to us, focus on your sin for a moment tonight as well. You are not only mortal, but you are also sinful. Verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, God sees them all. He knows them all. He looks at them. And what is his response if we are outside Jesus Christ? Wrath. That's his response. Verse 9 tells us, and then verse 10 tells us about the trouble that comes because of sin. Our lives are full of labor and sorrow, it says. And then it says, soon are we cut off and we fly away. It's just a moment. And then it asks this question, who knows the power of God's wrath? Do you know it? Do I know it? The power of God's wrath, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Are we reckoning with our sins? Are we reckoning with our secret sins? Because we know the wages of sin is death. And the power of sin is huge. We see it all around us. It gives us another picture how powerful death is. It's like a flood, it says in these verses. Now, what does a flood do? Children, if you have seen pictures of a flood or maybe a little video of a flood, what does it do? It takes all the things that are in the house, it takes it out. And then it all takes it somewhere. Broken furniture. Pictures. All the things that we treasure. That's what death does to us too. It takes everything. It's irresistible. It comes with a power. Who knows the power of God's anger? Who knows it? Have I learned to reckon with sin and death in our lives? God's wrath over sin. If we are ignoring it, it's going to be devastating. We all need a Savior. Wrath will wash us away if we are not in Jesus Christ tonight. Last year, all of us, received 525,000 minutes to repent. What have you done with those minutes? God came to us in 100 or more sermons, talking to us, speaking to us. What have I done with those sermons? Has the blood of Jesus Christ washed you clean? Have you, by the grace of God, tried to put in practice what you've heard? Were your secret sins, were they exposed in the preaching of the word? What have you done with the word of God? Have you been hiding away? Have you been ignoring God, his voice? Have you been going deeper into your sin? A true Christian faces these matters and thinks about them. And we think about our weaknesses, and we know our weaknesses. If you're in Christ, you know your weaknesses. You know your mortality. You know your sinfulness. You know you have learned to reckon with God's wrath over sin. And you're a true Christian. And because of that, you are distrusting yourself. And your thoughts, and your words, and everything you do. You distrust yourself, but you trust in God alone. And in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a true Christian, you've never reckoned with these things. Never. You've never looked them into the face. And you've never looked a holy God into the face. So do so tonight. God comes to you through His Word to find you. To find you. And to bring you to a place where you can bring yourself to Himself. That's what we are going to consider after we sing. Now we all realize that year-end math is not easy. It's something that we don't want to think about, we shy away from. But if we do it rightly, by the grace of God, and God uses that in our lives, it will give us life-changing wisdom and true satisfaction and joy in life. But we first need to consider what happens when your outcome is that you have lived for the wrong things. Because our text says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. It wants to teach us something. And that we live wisely, and that we are prepared for death, that we are prepared to meet God. And so it asks us basically this question, and we ponder it a little further still. What does this past year show about you, where you will spend eternity? What have you been busy with? What does that tell you about where you are going to? Going to spend eternity. If you are trying to count your days in the wrong way, then suddenly death will come and it's going to take you by surprise, and you will know what the wrath of God is all about. Because now you didn't want to consider it. You will know what the punishment of God is all about. You never took time to really let it sink in. So I plead with you, consider that now. Count properly. Learn to die right now. Every day. Every day. Die to your own desires. Die to your own will. And live for God. Because otherwise it goes with you like the rich fool who was so happy with him and who said to himself, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What if this is your last New Year's Eve? Psalm 39, we sang it, said, surely every man walks in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted, keeping busy, that means, in vain. He heaps up riches and knows not who shall gather them. That's a life without God. We don't know. And that life, Jesus tells us, if we have not counted properly, we will be like that rich man in hell who then suddenly starts to count. And it dawns on him, I have not counted the right way. I was counting all the ways the wrong way. I thought, I have more money, I have more stuff, I accumulate more, I have more pleasure, and now it's too late. And suddenly it dawns on him, and he's experiencing the wrath of God. And there's no drop to cool his tongue. Horrendous. We can't make a mistake when it comes to this sum. This kind of math. And we shouldn't make a mistake. It's too serious. When you're at school, fine. If your grade drops a little when you make a mistake, but not here. Not here. So what does your life show? Your past life, your past years show where are you going to spend eternity? Now life is short, too short. Death is very sure, and eternity is very long, without end. And God's wrath is going to be very severe. And this world is not supposed to be our home. God must be your dwelling place. And that brings us right to verse 1. God, thou hast been our dwelling place. God must be your home. Is God your home tonight? Is that where you find a refuge, a safe place, where you feel covered, where you know there's escape from the wrath of God? That is proper counting. That is proper counting. When we consider our death, our sin, our wrath, the wrath of God rather, and who God is, and when we learn to properly calculate, it will bring us to true wisdom. And the true wisdom, children, you've learned that this past year is the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how does it work? Well, I heard from a well-known pastor, he did it like this. For me, the end of the year is like the end of my life. And 11:59 p.m. on December 31 is like the moment of my death. The 365 days in the year are like a miniature lifetime. And these final hours are like the last days in the hospital after the doctor has told me that the end is very near. And in these last hours, the lifetime of this year passes before my eyes. And I face the inevitable question, did I live it well? Did I live it well? Will Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, say, well done, good and faithful servant? He will say so when you have learned to number your days and by the grace of God you have learned to apply your hearts to true wisdom. Much wisdom can be gained by just thinking about these things. Thinking about eternity, thinking about death, thinking about who God is, thinking about the heinousness of sin and how God hates it, thinking about the wrath of God over sin. How? Not when we stop there and it makes us fearful, but when it drives us to Jesus Christ and we hide in Him, that's what we need. Thou hast been our dwelling place from generation to generation. And when it secondly drives us to prayerful dependence upon this God. And that's what Moses shows us. He's praying. It's a prayer, as the superscript of this psalm says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And he has a wise heart, and he teaches us how to have a wise heart. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom when we are in awe of who He is, not just His awesome eternality, the fact that He has no beginning and no end, but then especially when we learn to reckon with His mercy. In verse 13 and 14, Moses shows us that. He prays. And let us pray along with Moses tonight. Return, O God, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. So he asks the Lord to have pity upon him. And to satisfy him early in the morning, literally, with God's mercy. God's steadfast love that he doesn't do with us according to our sins, but that he shows I'm loving and I'm kind. My loving kindness is for you, for through Jesus Christ. I have pity on you because Jesus Christ came into this world and he is that Savior that you and I need. He lived a short life. Very short life, 33 years. And he had a short ministry, only 3, maybe 4 years. And he endured the wrath of God. He had the wrath of God laid upon him. When he died a cruel death, a cursed death. A death on the cross. And his life was cut off when he was still young. His life, as it were, flew away. It was like green grass. And he did so to bear the wrath of God over sin, to take away the sins of the world. And this Jesus Christ, because he did so, he can come and invite people who are having lives as Laodiceans, who cling to the world, and are perhaps afraid of death, and have never reckoned before with the reality that God is wrathful over sin, and have never seen your sin in the light as you have see it now. He says to such people, I counsel you, I have something for you, buy from me gold, you will be rich, tried by the fire. It's pure gold. And then you will be rich. Buy from me. If you have to leave even everything, we are born naked and we go away almost naked. Here is a white raiment for someone who needs dress. A white raiment is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He can clothe you, he can cover you from head to toe so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear when you stand before this judge. They can, when you're blind, when you say, I can't see it, he says, come, buy from me eye salve. And when that is on your eyes, you will see it. You will see it. Christ comes with that offer to you. He is offered to you through the preaching. I'm merciful. Come to me. And if you say, my soul is homeless, because I can't find my satisfaction anymore in this world, then Christ says, I have got a home for you. I've got a home for you. Where you can stay, where you never need to say goodbye, where you can let your guard down, where you can say everything to this amazing eternal God, that you will dwell with him. Because he came this Christmas to dwell with us. To take that wrath. There you will be safe from the wrath of God over sin. There you will be tasting the loving kindness of our God. You will be surrounded by that. So pray for mercy. Pray with this psalm, Lord, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. So satisfy us early with thy mercy. But that's not all that Moses prays for. He prays also for joy and gladness. Because when we know something about mercy, we will rejoice and we will be glad. That's what Moses prays for. And it's an interesting way in which he prays for it. He's bold. He says in verse 15, that we may rejoice and be glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. So do you get that, children? He's doing math again. He's using the equal sign. The equal sign. He says, trials and afflictions, difficulties of life, equals future joy. Lord, put an equal sign there. We've gone, maybe you've gone through many trials and troubles, and you can pray along and say, Lord, put an equal sign there. Put an equal sign there. Now, begin right now. And also, even more so for the next life, for future joy. And when he does that and he gives you promises for eternal life, what does that mean? That means that he will do that for you. He will multiply your joy. He multiplies your joy by eternity. That's heavenly math. He multiplies our joy eternally, because he is eternal. God is eternal. And then we can say with Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So there's something weightiness waiting for us. Something weighty. The glory of God, which will rejoice our hearts and souls. And so, Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen, for the things here seen are temporal, and the things that are seen, not seen, are eternal. We are looking for those things. That rejoices our souls. Is that your joy tonight? The things eternal waiting for you. That eternal weight of glory that is not to be compared with the little bit of affliction that you get. God multiplies your joy into eternity if you're His and if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Pray for that joy. Say, Lord, put an equal sign and multiply my joy tonight. Have you suffered in the past? You can do that. That's what he teaches us to pray in this psalm. And then the third thing that Moses prays for is that God would work in our lives in such a way that he would bless our work. Verses 16 and 17. Life is short and time flies and we are laboring and there's so much sorrow, there's so much work. And you would say, is that all in vain? When you're for the, I don't know how many times you already have, maybe mom, you have changed the diaper of your little one. Laborious, vain. Or you dad, you've worked in the sweat, with the sweat on your face, and you have had frustrations in your work. Or at school, it didn't go the way you want. Is it all vain? Is it all vain? Is life vain? There's no meaning to it. Many people will say that to you today. And if you read things on the internet, you will get away with that thought. Life seems to be vain. Nothing to it. But God teaches us to pray differently. Verses 16 and 17, he says to us, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children, their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. So, what is Moses praying? God, transform my work. Transform my work. And show it to my children. How does God transform our work? Our maybe day-to-day menial task? You say, I don't like it, maybe, perhaps. How does he transform it? By working in you. Let thy work appear to thy servants. So first, God needs to work in us, and that transforms the way we work for Him. With Christ in us, we dwelling in Him, God loving us freely, because that's what it's all about. Let the beauty, that is the kindness of the Lord our God, be upon us. Let the kindness of God be upon us. When we work, when we do our work, for Him. And let it be shown to the next generation, that the next generation knows it. That we shelter in God when we do our work. And how appropriate that is for next year, isn't it? It's as if it's saying to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things that we worry about are going to be added to you. When we do God's work, with God's grace resting upon us and God's kindness, you will be able to prosper your work, however mean it is, or however little it is, or however you think about it yourself, and your family, as a father or as a mother, at school, on your job site, or you do something for church. God can transform that work when He works through it. And so we can pray this, can't we? We should. We should. That God will bless us and shine upon us. And as He shines upon us, we will shine as well. So mercy leads to joy. Joy in the Lord. Satisfaction in the Lord will lead to fruitful work for the Lord. Let's pray that together. May that be the outcome, the beautiful outcome of pondering those weighty, those somber, those dark things like death, our sinfulness, our mortality, who God is. Then when we do that in that way, it's going to be life altering. It's going to give us true wisdom. And we are going to hide in the mercy of Jesus Christ only. So maybe tonight even, take some time to do some more math, to make some more sums before the Lord on your own, and think about your outcome. What is it going to be? Don't shy away when you think about death and where you spend eternity. But then also pray with Moses and say, Lord, mercy, I need mercy. Satisfy me with joy. Make my work fruitful, O Lord. And if you've come up with a negative outcome, you're lacking, hide yourself in God alone. He gives mercy, He gives joy, and He can bless your work when His work is working in you. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And then one more thing. If we count like this, and we gain wisdom from this, what will we hear Him say? Jesus Christ, on that new morning, when we will be satisfied with His likeness, when we will be filled with His joy, when we will eternally praise Him, He will say to us, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen.